Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is hearing the cry of humanity. And we have a gift for you, and we'll be talking more about that gift later on in the show. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. The cry of humanity is not only the voiceless appeal which the spiritual workers are mobilizing, but it finds its expression also in all the plans and the many groups and organizations which are dedicated to the betterment of human living. What exactly is the cry of humanity? I haven't really heard this term before.
It's an expression that's found in the writings of Alice Bailey, as you mentioned. And as I understand it, it's an appeal that is expressed by humanity on all levels of human living, from the highest levels of spiritual appeal to the most fundamental levels of human need. And maybe we should start with the basic physical plane conditions that so much of humanity lives with. One of the most interesting statistics I can think of is the fact that half the world's people, which would be, 3 billion, live on $2 a day or less.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Really. And 20%... 1 in 5 live on a dollar a day or less. If you really think about that, regardless of the differences in local economies, it's staggering. The depth of human need is just staggering. And to me, that is the most urgent cry of humanity. I don't think we can talk about spiritual salvation without first turning one's attention to meeting the physical needs of our fellow men and alleviating suffering. Not too long ago, there was an email circulated on the internet, and our brother-in-law sent it to us. It distilled the condition of the world to a hypothetical village of around 100 people. Probably some of our listeners received this email, and even if some of the statistics aren't accurate, the gist of it is meaningful. It said that out of this village of 100 people, 6 people would possess 59% of the entire world's wealth, and all 6 would be American.
Oh, my goodness.
80 of the 100 people would live in substandard housing, 70 would be illiterate, 50 would be suffering from malnutrition. And it goes on and on like this. It said that we should pose a question to ourselves. If we have food in our refrigerator, clothes on our back, and a roof overhead and a place to sleep tonight, we're richer than 75% of the world. And if we woke up this morning in a better state of health than of illness, we're more blessed than 1 million people who will die this week. And if we have money in the bank, some money in our wallet, and a little bit of spare change in a dish on the counter, we should count ourselves among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Dale?
It's very hard to assimilate. You've really shocked me with that, Sarah.
Yes.
Yeah, you might say that the It has to do with public opinion, doesn't it? Also, this cry of humanity. You might say it's the spiritual side of public opinion. That is that which motivates public opinion in the first place, but from a very deeply spiritual level. Because reading those statistics that you just mentioned, many people read that and they're outraged by that. And I think we're in a position in our consciousness now where we see these injustices and these imbalances in the world, and it causes us to think.
And the fact that this was circulated so widely is public opinion, isn't it?
Right. And it's the cry that we hear in the demand for justice and fairness and right behavior, and particularly in our own society. We hear it in many departments of living, like in the demand to clean up corruption in our government and in our elected officials and representatives. We hear it in the demand to clear out the corruption and hypocrisy in the church.
Mm-hmm.
The corruption and greed and the selfishness that is evident in some business corporations, and also in the recently the tendency towards selfishness that was exhibited in the World Trade negotiations in Mexico that broke down. And that's a case where the have-not nations or the developing nations suddenly stood up and protested what the policies had been right along by the status quo. So, I mean, there's a crying out for the underprivileged in the world for justice.
Including the suicide by the Korean worker on behalf of farm rights. His only final resort to express that cry of humanity was to kill himself.
Right.
It's tragic.
And so this is kind of a unheard aspect or unheard part of this cry, because it really it's the soul beginning to make an impact, I think, on the consciousness of millions and millions of people in the world.
There's another level to this cry of humanity that applies also, and that is considering it in terms of the flow of energy. It's a kind of a subjective expression of the cry. If you think of energy in terms of flow and constriction, and you apply this to the whole of humanity, which we might call the world personality, you could say that the mind of humanity is still conditioned by vast, powerful thought forms, crystallized ideas. Often these ideas have national and religious overtones to them, and it's conditioned by the unevenness of education, with so many people being illiterate, whereas a small part of the world is extremely developed scientifically, technologically, culturally. So there's this tremendous imbalance in terms of the energy level on the mental level of humanity. And in the emotional body, you could see the flow and constriction of energy in terms of fear and suffering in so many parts of the world. Whereas in other parts of the world, this emotional energy expresses as a kind of a saturation of desire and craving for material things, including a ridiculous piece we heard recently on NPR about $12,000 shoes. Selling? I mean, it's... What would the Buddha say about our craving that people would actually buy $12,000 shoes when the great need of the world is so real? And on the level of the etheric or energy body, we can see the imbalance in terms of the distribution of wealth. There's vast wealth, particularly in this part of the world, in the hands of a few, and great poverty in much of the world. If you see all the world's people as atoms, you could understand the movement of atoms in the in the form of the homeless and the refugees who are streaming into the urban areas of the world to find a job, a way to live, a shack to have over their heads. This is a kind of an expression of an attempt to alleviate the congestion of too much wealth in one part of the world and impoverishment in another part of the world. Something is working out, I think, a kind of a transformation in terms of the distribution of energy on all these levels that expresses the cry of humanity.
And this cry is not reaching only just other aspects or other sections of humanity. It's reaching, I mean, horizontally it reaches out to all humanity, but it also reaches up vertically, you could say. This voiceless appeal is reaching up vertically towards the inner planes, and it's a sound that is heard on the inner side by the spiritual hierarchy, and they evoke in response to what they hear. They evoke the energies of light and love and to flow more into human consciousness.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is hearing the cry of humanity. We do have a gift for you today, and the gift is a pamphlet, and the title of the pamphlet is The Great Invocation. And it's the Great Invocation is the prayer that Sarah says at the end of each show. And it's a very unusual prayer, and it has much meaning and many layers of depth, so we thought we'd offer you for free a pamphlet on the Great Invocation, its use and significance. And all you have to do to get that gift is call us on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. And once again, it's just ask for the Great Invocation, the pamphlet on the Great Invocation. The easy way to remember the toll-free number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. That's 1-866. Think of New York LUCIS, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website is www.lucistrust.org, and you can find a lot of information about the LUCIS Trust organization on the website. One of the main reasons people seem to like to tune in is that they get access to our entire archived library of shows. And you might enjoy looking at all the different topics that we've spoken about on the air over the many years, over the several years that we've been on. Now, we also are having a symposium. It's called Hearing the Cry of Humanity, and you're certainly welcome to join us. It's on Saturday, October 25th, from 1:30 to 5:15 p.m., but I think it's probably more appropriate if Sarah, who's much more knowledgeable than I am on this topic, informs you more about the symposium, Hearing the Cry of Humanity. Sarah, can you do that?
Yes. Every year at this time, we hold a World Goodwill Symposium that has to do with some particular theme or condition related to world need, we could say. And in the three headquarters, New York, Geneva, and London, of the LUCIS Trust, we're holding this symposium. The afternoon's work will consist of several talks. The opening talk will be based on a theme from the Bible, In the World but Not of It, which our listeners might respond to. And then we'll have two guest speakers, one a representative of the World Peace Prayer Society and an organizer of the International Day of Peace, who will speak on the change in consciousness that's needed to make a true peace possible. And another guest speaker from the Temple of Understanding here in New York will be speaking on how would a more spiritually based United Nations enable it to better meet world need. In addition to the talks, we'll have plenty of time for group discussion where everyone can share their ideas on responding to the cry of humanity, and we'll have several periods of group meditation. So the idea of this afternoon's work is to really generate a pool of energy that can be focused upon this theme of responding to world need.
And I might say that there's no charge for the symposium. Everybody is welcome. You can just walk in, and if you would like a flyer on the symposium, give us a call and we can send that to you.
We'd appreciate your registering with us if you intend to come.
Just so we have a count and have an idea of the tea count.
You can register via our website, www.lucistrust.org, or you can call.
You can call our toll-free number. And
once again, if you'd like to call on the toll-free number, either to order the pamphlet, the gift that we're giving you today, which is called The Pamphlet is the Great Invocation. It's a pamphlet explaining the various levels of meaning to the prayer. You can call on that toll-free number for that, or you can register for the symposium called Hearing the Cry of Humanity. The toll-free number, once again, is 1-866-695-8247. I'm very intrigued by this one topic of discussion that's going to be spoken about at the symposium. The title, The Change in Consciousness Needed to Make a True Peace Possible. I really think that really gets to the heart of the matter, that all of mankind really has to have a change of consciousness. And more on that topic, I have a question, and that is, why should the economically successful person who's going through his daily routines and he's economically successful, why should he be concerned about what's going on in the world, maybe someplace in Outer Mongolia or someplace like that?
Because I think globalization demonstrates how interrelated we all are. Mm-hmm. And we ignore these problems at our peril. If people need to be personally affected, they are. With the great mass of human need that is not being addressed, we're all impoverished by it. Mm-hmm. And I think this is understood more and more today, that we will survive together or perish together. It is truly one humanity. A few people complain about globalization, but I think it's just the outer demonstration of the fact that we are all interconnected, like it or not. So I think that's part of our awakening to the cry of humanity. There's an interesting phrase from the writings of Alice Bailey that says that the group of people who are called world servers, those who are really engaged in meeting world need, learn mostly through the ear and through careful attention, which comes from an inner attitude of constant listening. I find that fascinating to think about, because she says that whereas the average person learns through the eye, by observing, by reading, studying, by, I suppose, the idea of observing, going through experience and learning the hard way, The world server learns through the ear, through the attitude of listening on the inner level. We don't necessarily at that level find our instruction from the printed page and from the worldly sources of knowledge, but from learning to attune to the inner levels of life. How do you understand that?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's extending one's senses in that higher direction. And all of our senses, sight and hearing and taste and smell and touch, all of those have higher corresponding avenues and channels. And so it's extending one's sense of hearing to this cry of humanity, to this inner spiritual cry, really, because it's a drive. What's really motivating all of this, I think, is a drive for betterment, as it says in the opening thought, dedicated to the betterment of human living, these organizations and groups. And I think that is what's driving so many people towards some kind of betterment in their life, whether it's just finding a better home or a better living condition or a better job or improving their educational knowledge. It's striving, which is being driven, here's again, by the soul from within towards something that is better. And I think that's essentially what is really driving this world cry in the world today.
I wonder if that's why people who have succeeded in bettering themselves on the material level and have pretty much everything they desire still feel a deep hunger. So often you hear that. I have not experienced that level of betterment, but it's said that they feel a deep hunger for spiritual nourishment. And I remember Mother Teresa responding to that idea that the rich can be just as impoverished or more so than the poor because their values are not necessarily in line with inner reality. So there's that spiritual hunger that exists even if you have everything on the material level.
Mm-hmm. And I think this appeal tends to grow stronger during what we call this transition period. Between the two ages, you know, mm-hmm. the old age, the Piscean age, and the coming age of Aquarius. And the soul is really beginning to make an impact on consciousness, and there is a crystallization of the old and a reformulation, a reorganization of the new taking place, and we're going through a period of disruption right now where there's a clashing of these energies and forces, and that's why there's so much chaos in the world, perhaps. But it's all being driven by this cry, this inner urge of the soul to come forth more strongly.
Yeah, there's a sense that change, and well, more than change, a real transformation is needed. You can kind of hear this howl of outrage and demand coming out of humanity today that the present and old system just doesn't work anymore. And it's a realignment that's undergoing. It's a painful time, but it's so promising. You mentioned the Great Invocation pamphlet that we're giving away today. And that might help people to understand how they can respond to the cry of humanity through their meditation by working with the Great Invocation itself. Because we're told that prayer and invocation are powerful means of appeal. And the highest use of prayer and invocation is not to ask for oneself, but to ask for all humanity. And the Great Invocation is an appeal for all humanity to meet the highest spiritual needs, which are for more light, for more love, and for more spiritual power. So if people want to begin to contribute in some way to meeting the need of humanity, they can work with the Great Invocation, which is the prayer that we close with every day, every program.
Once again, if you would like to order that gift, the gift is the Great Invocation. It's a pamphlet on the Great Invocation, and Great Invocation is an unusual prayer with much meaning and layers of depth. But if you'd like to have us send it out to you free of charge, just give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You have been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, Let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.